One of my favorite TV shows of years past is the show MASH. And MASH stars Alan Alda, who is playing an Army doctor for the 4077 Mobile Army Surgical Hospital during the Korean War. And what I love about the show is it's funny, and I love comedies. I'm not a fan of, like, the romance movies and all that garbage. I like comedies. And so it's a great show for me to watch to get a laugh out of it. But what I really love about that show is it shows a different reality of war. It shows, obviously, the blood and the guts and all the pain and the fighting and all of that, but it also shows the ability for people to be able to comfort one another in their worst times. And so in the last episode called Goodbye, Farewell, Amen, these people are saying goodbye to one another, and they've been working together in a war zone for years. They've experienced the comfort that other people had to offer, and they're saying these emotional goodbyes to one another as the ceasefire takes effect in Korea. And the reason it's so emotional is because most of them know that they're never going to see each other again. But in one of the last scenes, the very last goodbye, it takes place between Hawkeye and BJ, the two of the main doctors in the show. And Hawkeye, who's played by Alan Alda, he says, "I'm going to miss you a lot." To which BJ replies, "I'll miss you so much. I can't imagine what this place would have been like if I hadn't found you here." And he's able to say those words because he's experienced such comfort that somebody else has to offer. Now, this desire for comfort is something that we all have deep inside of us, and it's certainly something that we hear about in our reading in the Gospel of Luke today. We hear Simeon called a righteous and devout man. He was a good person. And God had made a promise with him, saying that he would not die until he saw the consolation of Israel. That word consolation means comfort. And so Simeon spent day after day waiting for this comfort, waiting to the fulfillment of the promise that's contained in the book of Isaiah, where God is speaking to the host of heaven and all the company of heaven and says, "Comfort, comfort my people." And that comfort for Simeon, that comfort for Israel, couldn't come soon enough. And it's the same for our life as well. Because all of us in here, in some aspect of our life, is looking for comfort. Parents are looking for comfort that their children who are stuck in addiction are going to rehabilitate. Widowers are looking for comfort after the death of their spouse that everything's going to be okay. Children are looking for comfort from parents who oftentimes choose work over relationships. Everyone is looking for comfort, and yet comfort does not seem to be around. The actor Russell Brand, who you might have seen in, like, Forgetting Sarah Marshall or Get Him to the Greek, he's a pretty risque actor. He was a former drug addict and atheist, and then finally he got into recovery and started doing the 12 steps, and at first the only part of the 12 steps he didn't like was the spiritual aspect of it. But his thoughts about religion changed, and now he's embracing Christianity. And so he did a recent interview with a Christian magazine about this, and he says, "You know, our world has a way of unconsciously thinking that there are external things in life that can make us feel better, that can provide us comfort, which is why you see so many people going after terrible behaviors or external factors or addictions." And it's true. I mean, maybe it's not on the same level for some of us as it is others, but our world craving comfort looks to things that provide just a little bit of comfort for a little while, like sex or porn or drugs or alcohol or talking bad about others to feel better about ourselves or talking bad about the Baptists down the street even though they're still Christian. And we do that all the time. We want to feel better about ourselves. We want to feel like there's some comfort in our life. And so when it doesn't feel like there is comfort, we look to all these other external factors that don't matter. We take in all the little trinkets that our culture has to offer, and it gives us just enough comfort, just enough of a high to make it into the next day. But the high doesn't last. And so this is why you constantly see people in cycles returning to past behaviors, past addiction, past sexual partners, in order to find something that just gives us a little bit more to keep making it into the next day. And it's this cycle that keeps going on, and you end up asking the question, like, when is it going to stop? Where does lasting comfort linger? Where does lasting comfort reside? Because I can be happy with the sex and the drugs and the alcohol, but it's not going to last long. What's going to last in my life? Well, Simeon gets an answer to that question. See, we celebrated the birth of Jesus, and that's beautiful. So when Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple for this purification rite that was according to Jewish custom, they bring him into the temple, and there Simeon is, and there he sees the answer. When he takes Jesus into his arms, suddenly he's actually holding the comfort that God had promised. As he's holding Jesus in his arms, he's holding the one to whom he's offered sacrifices in the temple for years. He's holding the one that all the prophets talked about. He's holding the one that is going to be the salvation for all of Israel, not just him, but for all people. And it's this beautiful moment where Simeon, I don't know if he breaks out in song, but you know, I'm kind of a dramatic person, so I like to think that he breaks out in this beautiful tune where he says, "Oh Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. Your word has been fulfilled, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have set before all people, a light for the Gentiles." And that beautiful song, he confesses who Jesus is. He confesses that this is the only comfort the world has to hold on to. And because of that, he essentially says, "I'm ready to die. I'm ready to go." How beautiful. And that's great for Simeon. But do we get to hold on to Jesus? Because if we don't, then we really don't have much comfort. All too frequently in our life, it seems like Jesus is part of the distant past, or maybe part of the ungraspable future. And so we have little comfort, and we go to all those things that have given us just a little bit of comfort in the past. Do we have the same comfort that Simeon did? I've been thinking a lot about that, and I came across this quote from St. Augustine, who was a father in the early church. He contributed a lot to how we think about Christianity now. And a couple months ago, I came across something he said. He said, "If you want to see God, you have the ability to do it, because God is love." I started thinking about that, and over the last couple months, that's really changed my life. Thinking that every time we see love, we see God. Even more than that, anytime we get to hold and to hug other people who are Christians, we actually get to hold salvation. We get to hold God himself, because Christ promises to reside in each one of us. And how beautiful is that? Just take a brief moment to look at the people who are next to you real quick. And look at them with those eyes of love. Do you know how God looks at all of you? Like a parent looks at the newborn baby. Like the world looks at Jesus. That's how God looks at you. What if we could look at one another with that same love and realize that we are always in the presence of salvation because Christ has died for each and every one of us? What if we could start to realize that when we hug someone or shake their hand or we get to hold a freshly baptized baby, that we are getting to see God. And maybe one day we can come to the reality as we look at the people next to us that our life would have been a lot different if we hadn't found them here. If Christians were more cognizant about this love and salvation that dwells in each one of us, I think it has the potential to change our world. If we could start looking at each other as though we are all bearers of the gospel, as though the salvation that God offers resides in each and every one of us, then our faith wouldn't be so weak all the time, because when we turn and look at someone, we can say, I see Jesus right here. And what if we could embody that ourselves, and it changes the way we talk to people and the way we love people and the way we interact with our world and our society, and we became the hands and feet of Jesus himself, so that when others saw us, others who are not in church, others who do not know Jesus, they could say, what do they have that I don't have? Because that love that they exude is so powerful. What if we could be those people who took salvation to the ends of the earth? What if we could be a person and somebody says about us, I don't know what this life would have been like if I hadn't found them here. I've had so many of those people in my life where I look at them and I say, I don't know what I would have done without them. I wouldn't be where I am today without hundreds of people who whipped my butt, who spoke truth, and who loved me when I was the most unlovable. What if we could do that for others? See, we start to put the pieces together and realize that it's with this realization that Simeon is able to say goodbye so peacefully, because he realizes that he has all the comfort he needs in Jesus Christ. Now, Simeon's dying. I'm not, to my knowledge, dying. So as I depart, I'm hopefully not going to wind up in a casket next week, but I'm still going. And I've had to say goodbye to a lot of people here who have moved on, who have gone to other places, who have moved closer to family and everything else. And the thing that keeps me going is the reality that no matter where we go, no matter what we do, it doesn't matter if we're in Tennessee, California, or Canada, which is anywhere north of Omaha, Nebraska, okay? No matter where we are, we're all part of the same mission that Christ has set for us, and we all have one thing in common that can never separate us, and that's a fact that salvation resides in all of us, that Jesus is in here. And that salvation, that love, transcends time and space, and it makes goodbyes a little easier. I was having breakfast with John McKay last week. John and I have become close over the last year and a half, and he and Chris have been just really great to my wife and I. And John, how old are you? 72. You look like a 65, so. around 50 years separates us. And John said, you know, Travis, on Sunday, it'll probably be the last time we see each other this side of heaven. But I'm comforted in the fact that we will see each other again. And I'm comforted by that too. See, no matter who you have to say goodbye to in your life, friends, family, whether they're going on to serve somewhere else or whether they are going to be with Jesus, our hope and our comfort is the cross of Christ. And we know that goodbyes, because of Jesus, don't have the finality that they used to. And it's with that comfort that we can say goodbye, farewell, and amen. And so one last time, I want you to know that Jesus loves you.